Yes, I invite you to please rise as your bodies and spirits allow. Join singing hymn number 38, Morning Has Broken. Please rise. Here we go. One, two, three. Morning has broken like the first morning. Blackbird has spoken like the first bird. Praise for the singing, praise for the morning, praise for them springing fresh from the word. Sweet the rain's new fall, sunlit from heaven, like the first dewfall on the first day. Praise for the sweetness of the wet garden, sprung in completeness where God's feet pass. Mine is the sunlight, mine is the morning, born of the one light Eden saw play. Praise with elation, praise every morning, God's recreation of the new day. You can be seated for our second hymn. This is our hymn sing this morning. And so this is Ubi Kari Tas et Amor, Ubi Kari Tas Deus Ibi Est. So say this, Ubi Kari Tas et Amor, Ubi Kari Tas Deus Ibi Est. Okay. And you don't have to stay standing unless you want to. Let's just say that again. And for those who want to know, the song translates as, where charity and love abound, God is there. And this month we're talking about the transcendentalists, and if there's a core to their theology, it would be that. Where charity and love abound, God is there. So just repeat after me. Ubi caritas, ubi caritas, et amor, et amor. Ubi caritas, ubi caritas, Deus ibi est, Deus ibi est. Let's do that one time through. Ubi caritas et amor, ubi caritas Deus ibi est. One last time. Ubi caritas et amor, ubi caritas Deus ibi est. Thank you. Prelude's after the welcome announcements.
Oh, thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the First Unitarian Church of Alton. My name is Dee Evans. I welcome you into this community of hope and transcendence. Here we seek wisdom beyond our own experience. Here we open our loving minds to the mystery and wonder and moral imagination. Here we transcend the day-to-day of our lives to seek for truths both meaningful and sustaining. Here we seek to offer a loving message that provides wholeness in a broken world. We are Unitarian Universalists. I offer my welcome to you, and in particular to those who are first-time visitors. We invite you to fill out one of the visitor cards found in the back of your gray hymnal and place it in the offering plate or give it to an usher. We'll send you our church newsletter for the next 3 months to let you know about the programs and activities going on here at the church. We are glad you are here and hope to see you again on future Sundays. We do have a nursery for infants and young children under the age of 4 years old through these doors to the left in the first room past the foyer. Our religious education program begins when we bless our children on the way to their classes and concludes at 11:30 a.m. At the front, we have a spirit chair, which includes activities for all ages. You are invited to go to the spirit chair at any time during the service to take an activity back to your seat. Children and youth are encouraged to attend religious education programs. Okay, it's Intergenerational Sunday. So at 11:30, we will have activities right back in the worker room. We welcome everyone into this home of comfort, spirit, justice, and hope. I have some announcements from Robin Strandquist. Robin, could you just kind of raise your hand so everybody knows? Great. Today after the service, the Sacred Ground Group will be picking up sticks in the yard that are a result of yesterday's storm. Come join us for 10 minutes or a half hour or any time you can spare. All are welcome. Please help increase our curb appeal for our prospective new pastor. If your spirit or body does not allow you to do yard work, please consider donating a small sum toward the purchase of plants, mulch, and tools. Contact Robin for more information. Sacred Ground Group May event. Oh, we're going to have a Sacred Ground Group event. I like that. Saturday, May 14th, 2016, from 9 a.m. till 12 noon, big spring cleanup event. Big spring cleanup event. Okay, excellent. We are planting annuals, cleaning garden beds, removing weeds and invasive species, picking up sticks and twigs, pruning, edging sidewalks, and collecting trash. Please bring your favorite tools, paper bags, and gloves. Come for 1/2 hour or an hour or any time you can spare. All are welcome.
I welcome everyone here. My name is Reverend Sunshine Jeremiah Wolf. I am the interim minister here at the First Unitarian Church of Alton for just about another 3 months, a little less than. It is my privilege to welcome you all here on this Mother's Day and on this Flower Communion Sunday. The flowers are looking lovely. If you did bring flowers today, who has flowers that they brought today? At any point when music is playing during your videos, you're invited to bring your flowers up and place them in the vases and here on the chancel. A couple of announcements. One, our Race and Film series will be this Friday at 7 o'clock. Our final film of the series will be Rabbit Proof Fence, which talks about the history of eugenics, and particularly in Australia, talking about what happened with the Aboriginal peoples there. It's a particularly powerful film. I hope you will join us for that. On June 10th, we will have a Bollywood dinner night. Pastor Sunshine will be cooking dinner for anybody who shows up. Cost is $20 or whatever you can afford. It is a fundraiser for the church. If you have a hard time affording it, please do not let that deter you from attending. Once dinner is complete, we will watch the movie Monsoon Wedding. So we do hope to see you there. And then, as you can tell, we still do not have a church accompanist. We have tried in the local paper. We have posted it on Craigslist. We have sent it out on Facebook. I am asking for your assistance. Anybody who is willing and able to help us find an accompanist for the church, please do. It's not that I don't love singing, but I get sick of hearing my own voice. I have to think you do too. And it's kind of exhausting planning all the music and the worship and everything. So anything to get some help would be supremely appreciated. I also do want to draw your attention to the announcement from our search committee that they were unable to find a candidate this round of the search cycle. which means that the board is moving forward in searching for an interim minister for next year. What I can tell you is you will have a minister. Who that minister will be is a little up in the air, and we will be moving into a second round of search. So if you're interested in the search committee, you need to speak to our board members. Board members, raise your hand. Yes, Dee and Lisa. So if you're interested in participating in that, let us know. And with that, that concludes this morning's announcements. As we enter into this Mother's Day, let us enjoy this song by Holly Near, sung by the Michigan Women's Chorus, 1,000 Grandmothers.
Words today from two thinkers quoted in Sources of Our Faith Inspirational Readings by Kathleen Rowlands, editor, were written about 100 years apart. The first is from Margaret Fuller, who lived in the 1800s. All around us lies what we neither understand or use. Our capacities, our instincts for this present sphere are but half developed. Let us confine ourselves To that, till the lesson be learned, let us be completely natural before we trouble ourselves with the supernatural. I never see any of these things, but I long to get away and lie under a green tree and let the wind blow on me. There is a marvel and charm enough for me. The second is from Thich Nhat Hanh, who leads a Buddhist monastery in France. I like to walk alone on country paths, rice plants and wild grasses on both sides, putting down each foot on the earth in mindfulness, knowing that I walk on the wondrous earth. In such moments, existence is a miraculous and mysterious reality. People usually consider walking on water or in thin air a miracle. But I think the real miracle is not to walk on either water or in the thin air, but to walk on earth. Every day we are engaged in a miracle, which we don't even recognize. A blue sky, white clouds, green leaves, the black, curious eyes of a child, our own two eyes. All is a miracle. Robin Strenquist will now help us light our chalice.
And Pastor Sunshine needs a couple of volunteers to help with our chalice lighting words. Who do we got? Still the usual, somebody young, somebody old. Come on, adults. You can do it. There we go. Come on, more the merrier. Anybody who wants to come up? Thank you. And creating space so that Robin get to the chalice, I invite you to join us in our chalice lighting words and hand motions. We light this chalice, symbol of Unitarian Universalism. May it remind us of the divine spark in all of creation, the power of love to heal what is broken, and to be grateful for life's blessings each day. Thank you very much. I'm going to remind our community that on, well, any Sunday really, but particularly on our generational Sundays, we let the silence be within ourselves and not without ourselves. So we don't shush, but we do ask for patience, for sound, and for movement. And if we're uncomfortable with the noises, that we move to someplace a little quieter in the room. With that, I invite you to please rise as your spirits and bodies allow and join in singing hymn number 34, Though I Speak with Bravest Fire. We're going to be singing it with a video today. So there will be a couple of musical interludes that you will know when it's time to sing. You'll need your books, Gray Hymnal number 34.
Speak with bravest fire and have the gift to all inspire, but have not love, my words are vain as sounding brass and hopeless gain. And
be seated. I wonder what's in our wonder box today. I know it's not in it. There are no butterflies, caterpillars, strawberries, or bunnies. Who would like to help me open our wonder box today? Anybody? Yeah, come on up. Oh, we got two volunteers. Both of you, come on up. Come on, come on. What do you think's in the box?
A zombie.
A zombie. Gosh, I would run scared out of the room if it were a zombie. What do you think? A mom. Wow. A zombie mom, maybe, right?
A villager.
A villager? Do we have any other ideas of what might be in the box? Flower, a tarantula.
A cage spider.
You guys want to open it and check? Let's see what's in there. What is it?
A straw.
Well, not the blanket. Leave the blanket there. But what's that?
A picture.
And what's on the picture? A peace sign. What else is on it?
I don't think zombie might have a picture.
Yeah? Who said flowers? Sort of, right? Right? Yeah, there aren't any zombies or moms on it. Thank you very much for helping out. You can go back to your seats now. Thank you. I'll have to think about how I would pull a zombie out of the mystery box. I'm a Walking Dead fan, so that's kind of a personal challenge. All right, so we have flowers and stars and a peace sign. Who can tell me what the peace sign means? Nobody knows what the peace sign means, Phil? Huh? End of war? Lack of war. Lack of war. Yeah. Peace. Well, it means peace, yes. Of course. So Mother's Day. What does Mother's Day have to do with peace? Does anybody know this story?
I don't.
Lisa? Right. Julia Ward Howe, who's most notably renowned for writing The Battle Hymn of the Republic, had been very clear that war was affecting families in deep and painful ways, and mothers did not want to raise their children just so they could die on the battlefield. And so the first Mother's Day was held to say, no more war, no more killing of our sons. And in fact, the song that we just heard, 1,000 Grandmothers, refers to the grandmothers who, during the Iraq War and the war in Afghanistan, said no more taking of our grandchildren, right? That part of being good parents is saying we will not do violence to our kids. That's the beginning, the foundation of Mother's Day. So it's not just some Hallmark thing, it's not just some forcing our kids to make us breakfast, all of the things that happen, but there's a deep point to the ritual that says all lives matter. That our children's lives matter. On this Mother's Day, I think of Black mothers who lose their children far more frequently than any other group. I think of mothers who, through miscarriage or abortion, did not get to see their child live a long life. Of mothers who lost their children too young. Of children who lost their mothers too young. And I want to be clear, when I say mothers, I mean mothers of any gender identity or gender expression. Mother does not mean female. Those two are not always the same. But all the mothers of our lives, the people who cared for us and helped us grow. And I offer a special blessing and prayer to those of us who have mothers who are difficult to be with, mothers who may have caused us pain, mothers for whom we may not always feel joy for having them in our lives. Mother's Day is a deeply complicated holiday, just as we are a deeply complicated people. So, was the name of the woman who started this?
Julia
Ward Howe. She's a big, important Unitarian. It's very important to remember her name. So why do we celebrate Mother's Day at all? Anyone? In support of our mothers. Lisa?
Because the Bible says to honor your parents.
That's fascinating. And it's interesting how Mother's Day came up and Father's Day came up about 50 years later, right? Any other reasons? Express appreciation in ways we might not otherwise because our mothers are always there. We've been talking about this word transcendence. Does anybody remember what that word transcendence means? We talked about it last week. I know, this is why I repeat it every week we do these things, right? Transcendence means outside of the ordinary or outside of the physical. Holidays are uniquely powerful because they are times in which we say we're going to move out of the ordinary for a moment. Because mom might always be there, or maybe not, but mothers are in our world, and they deserve our respect and our love, or at least our recognition that their lives mattered in some way. And so we hold a day that we choose to be transcendent, transcending the everyday. So it isn't just mom doing the laundry for the 50th time, or a parent who's, you know, holding a child who's dying, or just remembering for those of us who have lost our parents, remembering their lives and their importance. Going day by day by day, we may not always remember to be grateful. Holidays allow us to engage in transcendence in an intentional way. So children in the room, tell me one positive thing about a parent in your life. Who are our kids in the room? Raise your hand. Okay. I'm glad some adults raised their hand. That was wise. What are reasons why you celebrate your parents?
They're there for you.
They're there for you. Great. Yeah.
They're always there when you need them, and they never leave your side.
They're always there when you need them, and they never leave your side. Parents, why is it worth celebrating your children? If it is. Took some folks a second. We're a little groggy this morning, aren't we? Yeah. Why do we have kids? Yomi.
Because we want to create the next world.
We want to create the next world. Okay. Lisa.
I want to do better than my mother did.
You want to do better than your mother did. Mm. Casey.
We get 11 years to make one day.
You get what?
A lovely mirror.
A lovely mirror to look at every day. A kind of reminder of who we are and how we act. Yes. My DRE back in Montgomery, she'd be like, he keeps doing this and this, and I'm like, it's because you do it, and he's doing what you do. Stop saying that! She'd get very mad at me when I point that out. But it's true, right? Our kids do what we do. Not what we tell them to do, but what we do, because that's how we operate. So this Mother's Day, I want you to say yes to peacefulness, to kindness, to remembering that we want our children to be the new future, not just to die on the battlefield, whether it's the battlefields of St. Louis, or Iraq, or Syria, or Chicago. Wherever we are in the world, we want our kids to live. So, let us celebrate the lives and the transcendent moments. For women teach us so much, mothers teach us so much, parents teach us so much about what it means to say yes to life, to the things that are out of the ordinary, and to the blessings of the world. They help us become the butterfly. Each week we take time to recognize the joys and sorrows, the celebrations and the struggles of this community. We do this by taking a stone or stones from the bowls around the room or at our bowl here in the front. We allow the stones to bring us into awareness of those things most important in our life through thought or meditation. In other words, we let it allow us to transcend the everyday, to do something out of the ordinary, to recognize those celebrations and those struggles in our lives. We then place them in the cleansing waters of this community, which includes a little bit of water collected from our annual water communion. If you have a joy, sorrow, celebration, or struggle you wish to recognize, you are invited to come forward now in a ritual of joy and sorrow. Please join me in singing as you learn it. The earth, the air, the fire, the water, return, 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 return. The earth, the air, the fire, the water, return, 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 return. Aye, 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 oh, oh, oh. Fire, the water, return, 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 return. The earth, the air, the fire, the water, return, 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 return. Aye, 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 oh, 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 oh. Aye, 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 oh, 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 oh. The earth, the air, the fire, the water, return, return. Return, return, the earth, the air, the fire, the water, turn, return, return, return. Aye, 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 oh, 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 oh. Aye, 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 oh, 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 oh. The earth, the air, the fire, the water, return, 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 return. The earth, the air, the fire, the water, return, 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 return. Aye, 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 oh, 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 oh. Aye, 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 oh, oh. We place a stone in the bowl for those joys, celebrations, struggles, and sorrows lying in the silent sanctuaries of our hearts. And a stone in the bowl for all those who cannot be with us today. I invite you today into a movement to meditation. In those times when we need to be transcendent, to be out of the normal, out of the physical, it is good to live into our bodies in this moment. And so I invite you first to take a slow, deep breath in, and when you breathe in, push your belly out, breathing in and out. And one more time, in. And out. But now this time when you breathe, I want you to do the high note down to a low note. And I want you to feel it go from your nose into your stomach. Breathing in. And out. Ooh. And breathing in. And breathing out. Ooh. And as you notice where you feel it in your body, become more aware. As both Margaret Fuller and Thich Nhat Hanh have taught us, to be on the green earth, to be below the green trees, to be here in this moment. I invite you into this time of meditation, prayer, and contemplation. And I invite you to lift your arms up to the sky, feeling the stretch in your body, and being aware of the power and beauty of the air, the sky, the sun, and the rain that comes down. Move your arms around a little bit. And notice how your fingers and your hands and your arms and your elbows feel. Move them around a little. And if you're like, this is silly and uncomfortable, lean into that. That is part of that transcendent, doing something out of the ordinary. It changes our minds and it changes the energy in our bodies. I invite you to hold your arms out, offering gratitude for the people near you, the people to your left and your right and in front and behind, and to all the people in this world who need your loving presence, your grace, to be with the wonder of this life. I invite you to hold your arms down, to tap your feet on the ground a little bit, feeling the floor beneath you and the earth beneath that, the source of our food and our clothing, Everything that has become our body has come from this earth first. We are all connected and interrelated. And I invite you to take a deep breath in and to breathe into the middle of stillness. If it helps you to put your hands in front of you and touching, do that. To be grateful for this body that is yours, that is your only home from birth to death. May you with this body celebrate the beauty of flowers today, of the sun, of the sounds of children, of the wisdom of elders, of the gifts that this life gives us. And for those facing trial and struggle, sadness and grief and illness, may we offer patience and wisdom. And taking a deep breath in and breathing out with that noise, breathing in and out. Letting that help you become aware of the core of your body. Breathing in and out. Ooh. And one last time. In and out. Ooh. May it be so. Please join in our meditation hymn, Comfort Me.
Comfort me. Comfort me, comfort me, oh my soul, comfort me, comfort me, comfort me, oh my soul. We receive from this church the opportunity to explore meaning, purpose, and value in our lives. How does the money you give reflect what you receive? How does our collective money transform all within and beyond our congregation walls? This morning's offering will be gratefully received. May it be lovingly given.
Such a delight to hear the voice of our youngest member. I invite you to join me in reciting our offertory blessing. To the work of the church, which is weaving a tapestry of love we call community, we dedicate ourselves and these our offerings.
As we listen to today's reading, it's important to remember it was written by Margaret Fuller, a Transcendentalist, in 1843. This congregation recognizes and supports that there are many genders and gender identities. While this reading uses the language man and woman, it also represents the great literature and thought that made it possible for us to celebrate the diversity we have today. Please join me in this responsive reading with the spirit in which it was written in 1843. Please turn to your hymnals. And in the back are the readings, and turn to 575. A new manifestation is at hand, a new hour is come.
When man and woman may regard one another as brother and sister, able both to appreciate and to prophesy to one another.
A new manifestation is at hand, a new hour is come.
What woman needs is not as a woman to act or rule, but as a nature to grow. As an intelligence to discern, as a soul to live freely and unimpeded, to unfold such powers as were given her.
A new manifestation is at hand. A new hour is come.
Man does not have his fair share of you. His energies are repressed and distorted by the interposition of artificial.
A new manifestation is at hand. A new hour is come.
We would have an arbitrary barrier thrown down. We would have every path laid open to woman as freely as to man. We're stunned. We believe a divine energy would pervade nature to a degree unknown in the history of former ages.
A new manifestation is at hand. A new hour
is come.
I can't think of a better day to talk about Margaret Fuller than Mother's Day. Her life as a Transcendentalist was one of privilege to some degree. And she lived at a time when women were just starting to lay claim to their rights to be able to study what they wanted, to be able to be in professions that were not normally claimed, and to be able to be seen as people that were not just mothers and caretakers, for those things are important, but that is not all that women were or are, right? The Transcendentalists were a community that welcomed the voices of women as an addition to the story. At that time, they called it the New Thought Movement. We've heard that phrase over and over again throughout the decades. But this particular New Thought Movement was saying that we needed something more than the either-or that was going on at that time. And honestly, I think we probably need to get beyond the either-or of our days today thinking as well, right? But at that time, there was a fight going on between two major religious communities. How many of you have heard of Jonathan Edwards? He's a great religious leader in the early 1800s, supported the creation of what was called the Great Awakening, which was a revivalist movement. It was a tent revivalist movement in many ways. Great, loud, prophetic preachers going out and encouraging people to have an emotionally transformative experience so that they would know that they were saved by God. How many of you have heard that before? Any of you been to a church where that is still prophesied? Yes. So at that time, there was this great movement, this upswell, and the focus of the religious movement in that side was that you had to have this emotional revelation. And so there was an entirely other group of people, liberal religionists, included Unitarians, not just them, who said, no, we have to be thoughtful. And in fact, they completely distrusted any kind of emotional anything, right? Does that sound familiar? Yeah, I've heard that in this church. In the past 2 years, it's so familiar. And the truth is, I don't think either of them are entirely right, right? Now, last week, you remember when I was saying about transcendence, that it's a quality of experience. And it's a quality of experience that's not ruled by the heart alone. It's a quality of experience that includes the mind, the spirit, the heart, the everything. In the movie Harold and Maude, Maude says, I don't pray, I communicate. It is communication with the world around us, transcendence. And this is what the transcendentalists were asking for. They were saying, we need not give fully and completely to an emotional revelation to be saved. But they were also not completely with the Unitarians, where it had to be completely rational and completely without any sort of emotional world and completely logical, the reading of the Bible and the interpretations and everything. Now, they were liberal religionists in that they believed in one God, not the triune God. They didn't believe in that the Holy Spirit and Jesus were of one essence with God. But they did believe that the spirit, the soul, mattered, that it was important. And Margaret Fuller in particular, as she was going through and learning and sharing and arguing with the other transcendentalists about the importance of the spiritual life, the importance of something above and beyond just reason, she started to realize that we all need to live above and beyond our own expectations. And the expectations for women were pretty strict back then. I was watching this video, by the way, that video is called Transcendence. It's a violinist named Lindsay Stirring. And if you watch that story that was being told, it's of a woman who doesn't realize that things are being projected onto her, and then slowly starts to realize she can manipulate the world around her, and then realizes there's somebody projecting on her and says no more, and then eventually breaks out of the show entirely, right? Seeing herself. And that was what was happening for women in the 1800s. They were starting to realize we don't have to live this projected life. We can break out and do what we want to do with our lives. And the transcendentalists did this a lot through recognizing that spirituality, that music. You notice Lindsay picks up her violin and it helps her break the chains even more because it moves us into a different place. I don't pray, I communicate, says 80-year-old Maude, who over 80 years has learned not to let the world tell her what to do. Margaret Fuller lived a long, good life. She traveled all over the world. She had her own children. And everywhere she went, she said women's lives, in fact, all lives, and at that time, particularly black lives, are transcendent unto themselves. They are sacred and they are holy and they are out of the ordinary expectations and assumptions we hold. What were the assumptions for women at that time? What did women have to be? Married. Quiet. Submissive. Subservient. Mothers. Take care of children. Cook and clean. I'm going to tell you a little bit of your story. As the First Unitarian Church of Alton, Who was the very first minister who came to preach here at all? William Elliott. Come up the river from First St. Louis down the way, as it was formation. The thing to know about Elliott was he was deeply uncomfortable with this new thought. He was a conservative guy who believed in mind and reason, and he expected his wife to be a mother, to be submissive, to be subservient, to be quiet. And those women directed the lives of their men, whether they knew it or not. And certainly, the women of the Elliott family directed the lives of the Elliott men. This congregation went a different direction. It's almost as if Alton said, we're not St. Louis, we're not going to be those conservative everyday people, we're going to go for the extreme. And it could have been that Ralph Waldo Emerson, a transcendentalist himself's cousin, was a part of this congregation's early history. But whatever it was, the early story of this congregation was one that said yes to the spirit as much to the mind. That is a part of who you are. You were a beacon for that. In the middle of the Midwest, second oldest congregation here in the Midwest. And that was your story. And goodness knows, you transcend Alton's expectations every day, don't you? Alton has its own expectations for how we should be. What is the expectations for people who live in Alton? Christian.
Conservative.
Middle class. And some you're probably afraid to name. That's okay. Alton has always been that out there church, the folks who did something different. You have been the ones who transcended expectations in this city for almost 200 years. Kleber helped you do that. You helped you do that. All the people who came before you helped you do that. I wish for you that you continue to transcend expectations and to say, yes, that is who we are. Because it is one of the things that I love about you, and that I know the rest of the world will love about you as well. So, when we think about Margaret Fuller and her commentary on men and women, may we keep in mind that we transcend our assumptions and our expectations every day, because that is part of what it means to be a good mindful person and a good heartfelt person, and just a good human being in general. May it be so. So, what does flower communion have to do with any of this? Who brought flowers today? Who wants a flower today? We have enough flowers for everyone. I'll tell you a little bit about flower communion. Norbert Chapek was a minister. He got his training in New York as a Baptist. And he's Czechoslovakian, and he met his wife, Maya Chapek, in New York. And she convinced him that no, he should be a Unitarian, which was good for us. And when they went back to Czechoslovakia, they started a Unitarian church. Now, the thing about this Unitarian church is that they did not trust Catholic traditions, and so they would not do communion. Most Unitarian churches in Europe do some kind of communion. This church would not. How many of you would be weirded out if we suddenly started offering the body of Christ in this church, right? They had that equal expectation there, like, we're not going to do this. But he also knew that the energy in the congregation had fallen a bit, and he wanted them to feel connected to each other, that they were not alone. And so he came up with this idea as he was walking a lane in Czechoslovakia of the flower communion. Talk about out of the ordinary. Flowers, they're as ordinary as they come, right? They're around us every day, and yet each one is so special and unique. And so he invited his congregation to each of them go out and pick a flower and bring a flower back to the church, and then everybody would take a different flower than they arrived with, celebrating their community, celebrating their transcendence with one another, celebrating their holiness in their life. And it is worth noting that his values of love and community were considered to be so threatening that Nazi Germans arrested him and sent him to Dachau, and that's where he died. In fact, he was labeled as somebody who was too dangerous to let live, because he would be so dangerous to the Third Reich. So it is time now for us to share in this flower communion, this transcendent ritual, this ritual that helps us say yes and to be connected with each other and with the world around us. I ask that as each of you in turn approach the communion vase, you do so quietly and even reverently, the sense of how important it is for each of us to address our world and one another with gentleness, justice, and love. I ask that you select a flower different from the one you brought. And if you did not bring one, there are more than enough flowers for everyone. I would like everyone to participate as you are able. Pick one that particularly appeals to you, that says wonder and life to you. And please remember to handle that flower carefully, for someone brought it for you to take today. It is a gift that someone else has brought for you. It represents that person's unique humanity and therefore deserves your kindest touch. Let us share in this ritual as Unitarian Universalists, a ritual of oneness and love. I'll invite folks to come up this aisle to take the flowers and then go back down that aisle to your seats.
Glorious, gather round,
Has everybody got a flower now? We have plenty of extras, so please feel free to take some home when you leave. I like this one. It's rubber banded together, I think. So may you enjoy the wonder of the flowers. I find this particularly powerful as we're celebrating the Flower Festival in Florissant this week. May you say yes to life and to each other. May you take a minute to breathe in the roses and to be in the world, because you only have this one life to live, moment to moment. I invite you to please rise as your spirits and bodies allow and join in singing When Our Heart Is in a Holy Place. We do not have accompaniment for this one, so we will do the best we can. And remember to sing from?
The diaphragm.
The belly, yes, the diaphragm. All right, here we go. When our heart is in a holy place, when our heart is in a holy place, we are blessed with love and amazing grace. When our heart is in a holy place, when we trust the wisdom in each of us, every color, every creed and kind, and we see our faces in each other's eyes, then our heart is in a holy place. When our heart is in a holy place, when our heart is in a holy place, we are blessed with love and amazing grace. When our heart is in a holy place, when we tell our story from deep inside, and we listen with a loving mind, and we hear our voices in each other's words, then our heart is in a holy place. When our heart is in a holy place, when our heart is in a holy place, we are blessed with love and amazing grace. When our heart is in a holy place, when we share the silence of sacred space, and the God of our heart stirs within, and we feel the power of each other's faith, then our heart is in a holy place. When our heart is in a holy place, when our heart is in a holy place, we are blessed with love and amazing grace. When our heart is in a holy place, when our heart is in a holy place, I invite you to turn across the chandelier towards your neighbors. See the wonder in each other's eyes. Hear the love in each other's hearts. See the stories. Holding faith in each other, because faith is what? Faith is trust. We have faith in one another. We have trust in one another. We know that our voices, our lives, our wisdom are needed. So may you go forth this week sharing your flowers, sharing your wonder, sharing your abundance, sharing the spectacular beauty that is this congregation, that has been this congregation for almost 200 years. Take it out into the world who needs our love and our presence, and return to us again next week, knowing that we are here for you. In faith, in love, and in flowers, may it be so. Blessed be. Amen. Mm-hmm.
to spin.